Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Welcome back to the Random Theory Podcast. I'm Grace.
And I'm Josh.
And together we answer curious questions that you guys have about the world we live in. Ooh.
Man, that intro is just, it's so clean, you know?
It's getting better every time. I think I really like that one the most.
That one was nice. I like that you're revising it each one.
Thank you.
And it's getting better and better. Maybe by 200, we'll have just the most incredible intro.
I know, right? Well, it's fun because I think we're the only podcast that's completely community driven.
Yeah.
Where we're answering questions that our viewers have. I don't know another podcast out there that's answering the people's curiosity. They're just coming up with it on their own and doing whatever they're curious about or whatever sure. They found fascinating. But we're listening to the people. So
yeah, especially a podcast like this.
Yeah, seriously. So if you're curious about something, write in, let us know. We want to know what you, our community, are curious about.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. That's why we're here. We're here for the science pals.
Here for
it. To talk about what you're curious about. So how you doing? How are things?
Oh, I'm good. I'm not in my normal spot. I'm in Phoenix, Arizona right now for the last NASCAR race. You guys know, if you've been keeping up, I travel a lot outside of T-Core podcasting, blah, 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 with NASCAR. So this is the last race, the championship here in Phoenix.
Wow.
So yeah, this is it.
Exciting.
It is. The season's coming to the close. It feels like the last day of school. In a weird way. Also, I'm getting over a really, really bad cold. So if I sound different or nasally, that would be why. Well, how are you? How have you been?
I'm good. I mean, it's literally the same as it was last week. Just busy, you know, lots of band stuff. We put out our music video. I mentioned that last week on the podcast. We've got another song coming out literally tomorrow.
Whoa.
And a music video for that as well coming out next week. So just a lot of busy stuff, but all good stuff. So no complaints here.
I love that. No complaints. Maybe we're on the up and up.
You know, I think we are. I think we're on the up and up. We got some exciting things that are like very interesting for me, like with the band, but then also T-Core. There's some exciting things like in the future that I hope we can explore, and I hope we can really do them and do it right. And I think it'll be exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
One of those things.
Yeah.
We heard you about the hats. I saw the comments.
We did.
There was many comments on YouTube. I think there was one on Spotify, some here and there. People said hats. People wanted hats.
Yeah, I think we should do like a limited run. Like just a very limited run. Maybe you get some special prizes if you order a hat. Like, I don't know. I think it'd be kind of cool and fun.
I don't know how we would do it, so we'll have to figure that out. But potentially doing a very limited run of like 20 hats.
Yeah.
And we would package them ourselves, write you a note, you know, thanks for being a science pal, number the hat, you know, 1 to 20.
Yeah.
Grace and I obviously getting hats 1 and 2 because we want the hats. It is happening. I don't know. No dates, no anything. We'll let you know on that. But We saw the comments.
Follow us on Instagram at Random Theory Pod.
Yeah, we'll post for we'll updates. Post there. We'll post, I'm sure, on our YouTube. Obviously, we'll talk about it in a podcast as well. Like in this section, we'll talk about it when it comes up.
Maybe we do it around Christmas.
Yeah. Like if we could get it maybe beginning of December.
We can do it for my birthday.
There you go. That's perfect.
I like that.
We'll look into all, you know, we'll get into it. We'll figure out how to do it. And yeah, get a sweet Science Pal hat.
I think it'd be cool.
Well, what are people curious about this week, Grace?
You guys are so curious about so many things, and I love it because I feel like I'm learning something new every single day. So our listener curiosity today comes from Cohen Tony. They said, hey, my name is Cohen, and I've been a fan of the King of Random and listened to the Random Theory podcast from day one, and I really enjoy it. I have a topic for you. All right, Cohen. Ooh. What is it? It says, I want to know about sharks and how they give birth to live babies, even though they are fish.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know that I needed to know about this until I knew about it. Does that make any sense?
I didn't know
that I needed to know any of this information until I started researching it, because it is fascinating.
You know, I get that. When I woke up this morning, I definitely did not have shark babies on the brain. But
now you do.
But now I'm like, well, I gotta know more. I gotta know.
We're gonna figure out how sharks have live babies right after this break.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is honestly mind-boggling. So sharks have been around for more than 400 million years. So long before even the trees on our planet existed, these top predators have evolved into over 500 species that come in all different shapes, sizes, colors, and it makes them one of the most unique species on this planet.
Wow, 400 million years.
Can you believe that?
That's a long time.
Sharks have been around for 400 million years.
Sharks be old.
Sharks be old. Sharks be scary. Sharks be big. Sharks be wise.
You know, sharks are just kind of everything at this point. They're just everything.
I mean, they've evolved so well that they can turn half their brain on and half their brain off.
Whoa, what?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
Dude, I don't know anything about sharks. Unless it was covered in the movie Jaws. Sharks? I don't know anything about sharks.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so sharks are, to me, one of the most interesting creatures because, like this talks about, they come in so many different shapes, sizes, different types. And so sharks, they live with half their brain on, half their brain off.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, so they're always, like, one part of them is always sleeping. Like, one part of the brain is always sleeping.
Man, I feel like that all the time, but I don't think I should.
Yeah, but, like, isn't that crazy that they literally can, like... They've evolved to such like a distinct point that half their brain can work at different times. So that's why they're always swimming. Well, sharks always have to be swimming, otherwise they die. If they sit still, like, they die. Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that they just never stop. They're always going somewhere.
Yeah, which is why half their brain is on part of the time and then the other half is on the other time. Isn't that not insane? Could you imagine if humans evolved to that?
I mean, it feels very like economical and smart, you know, to like
right?
preserve half your brain, let one do some work, then switch over to the other one, let that one rest.
It's crazy.
Although I guess in humans' brains, different parts of the brain control different things. So I don't know how that would.
Yeah. You know, and I don't know that much about shark brains where to know, like, does the left side do everything that the right side does? So, I mean, that's a question I have.
Yeah. I mean, I guess off the top of my head, I would assume it probably would have to, but who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Could you imagine if like only your left side was working at some point? So you had to only be creative. And then the right side, you could only be analytical. Like
whatever side the like memories are on, it's just, you just forget. And then like halfway through the day, you're oh yeah, I remember everything. Oh yeah,
I'm supposed to be doing this, that, and the other. Oh my God, that would be crazy. Okay, so back to sharks now that we've completely gone off the rails. They're fish, but a lot of people believe they're mammals due to how big some of them can get and because some of them give birth to live young. So fish are aquatic animals and they're among the first vertebrates, so animals with a backbone, to evolve on Earth. And so they're divided into two very broad groups.
Okay.
So you have your teleosts and these have a bony skeleton and a symmetrical tail.
Okay.
So think of like Nemo.
A Nemo. Yeah, I was like, what kind of fish?
Like their tail is symmetrical. And then you have your elasmobranches, and they have a skeleton made of cartilage, which this is where the sharks come in. And this involves the family of like rays and skates. So anything that has like that, I don't know if anyone here has touched a shark, like at aquariums when you're younger and stuff, and you touch them, they have like a sandpapery like skin feel to them. And so that's a majority of sharks, rays, and skates have that same like textured outer layer.
I feel like it being a skeleton of cartilage makes sense.
Yeah.
Just if you like, I don't know, if you think about it, especially, I mean, a shark, I could see it going either way, but like, especially like a stingray, they just look like they're not, there's not necessarily bones. Yeah, they're just like, I mean, if you think about cartilage, like your nose is made of cartilage, your ears have cartilage, like, that just makes sense. They're just kind of like flowy and whatever, a little gooey.
That's so true. Like if you grab your ear, that's pretty much like what a stingray, like that's why they're so bendy and like blah, 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 you know?
Just here like wiggling my ear.
I am too. I'm like messing with my ear. I just think it's crazy that a great white shark has no bones.
Yeah, I feel like at some point in some type of media, whether it be a kid's cartoon or something, I have seen a shark skeleton.
Yeah.
And now I know that I'm lied to. I've been lied to.
Well, so they actually do fossilize. We're going to talk about that in a little bit.
Oh.
Because that's how they've been able to discover like sharks being like
that
400
is true.
Million years old. So
that is true.
This is going to be a little confusing for a second. While all sharks are fish, not all fish are sharks. You got me?
While all sharks are fish, not all fish are sharks.
To be very clear, like Nemo is not a shark. Dory is not a shark.
Sure.
If fish have cartilage instead of bones, like you're asking Josh, how can they be like, how can I have seen a fossil? So this is for me kind of interesting. And we're going to get into like how live sharks are born in a little bit. But I just think like this for me is just like really interesting. Because if you find fossilized humans or they find human bones or whatever, there's never a nose. There's never ears.
That's a great point. It's always there's a hole there.
Yeah. So how can these fossilize, but for humans, they don't fossilize?
I'm on the edge of my seat.
I'm glad because it's kind of crazy. Also, could you imagine if like it makes sense that like sharks can be cartilage, but could you imagine like a grizzly bear made of cartilage?
It feels okay. I don't know if you've seen this movie and I don't know if any of our listeners out there have seen this movie. Have you ever seen or heard of the movie Annihilation?
No.
Okay. Well, it's like a thriller, a little horror, but not really. The whole point of the story is there's a part with a bear that has been like mutated by this interdimensional magic. The moment you said a bear made of cartilage, it's this bear, which is like insane and like the scariest part of the whole movie. It's not good.
It reminds me of the SpongeBob episode with the bear fish or whatever it is.
The sea bear.
Sea bear, yeah.
Yeah. Sea bear, you gotta watch out for those sea bears.
Sea bears. Oh my gosh. Okay, anyway, dude. Man, we are like wired this morning. So the shark's skeletal system is made of cartilage, which is the clear, gristly stuff that's in your ears and the tip of your nose. That's like what it's made of. So in its pure form, cartilage does not fossilize. That's why you don't find ears and noses all over the place. They just disintegrate. However, as most sharks age, they deposit calcium salts in their skeleton cartilage to strengthen it.
Oh.
So that's why the dried jaws of sharks appear to feel heavy and solid, much like bone.
Okay.
Yeah. So these are the same minerals that allow most shark skeletal systems to fossilize quite nicely. And so the teeth have enamel, which is why they show up in fossil records. And you're able to find shark teeth because they have enamel. They're not made of cartilage. They're like our teeth.
Have you ever found a shark's tooth?
I have many, many times.
Yeah, same.
Josh, where he grew up is... Okay, so Utah... I don't even know how to explain this with it making sense. Utah used to be underwater. Millions and millions and millions and millions and millions years ago. Utah was underwater. And sharks swam in Utah. Utah is this mystical, magical land that makes no sense.
I mean,
but it's like super cool.
That just described, that's like Utah now and in the past. It's just, it doesn't make sense. Yeah, the whole of Utah was underwater. And where I grew up, there was a lot of sedimentary rock and also clay, which makes a good area for these fossils to come up to the surface.
Because it just like washes away as rain. Washes it.
Yeah, away. Yeah. You would have like these benches, you know, at the top of a mountain or whatever, where the clay would just wash away and leave shark's teeth.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, we would hike the mountains around our town and you could find them. They would just be laying all over the place. These little, most of them were really small. There was nothing like huge.
Sure.
But yeah, I've found tons of shark's
teeth. But I just think it's so crazy that like in Utah, you're finding shark's teeth. Like, I've only ever found it at the beach. I think I would be so caught so off guard finding a shark's tooth in Utah.
Especially, like, down there in southern Utah where I grew up. I mean, like, south central Utah, which is now considered a desert. Yeah. Yeah, I'm finding shark's teeth.
But, yeah, that's how you're able to find shark jaws and, like, the shark bones and I say bones. They're not bones. But the shark cartilage is because its deposit has calcium salt deposits in the skeletal system.
I mean, yeah, that is fascinating. I mean, calcium, that's what we have in our bones, but generally, obviously, much larger quantities. But yeah, that's fascinating that sharks have that evolutionary ability to deposit it as they get older.
I know. Isn't that weird?
Like, I wish humans had that.
Yeah.
Because our bones tend to get weaker as we get older.
Right. Our body just deteriorates, but there's somehow just gets stronger.
Yeah,
it
just falls apart. Yeah, just, you know.
I don't understand.
Sharks are like, nah, I'm getting older. I'm getting thicker. I'm building up.
Oh, my gosh. I think it's even crazy. Like, there's so many shark species we're probably not even aware of.
There's so many species that we're not aware of like, everything. I don't know. The ocean is, like, a crazy place.
It's scary.
I am scared of the ocean. It's not for me.
You're like, no, thanks.
There's hilarious. It's dark out there and unknown.
Yeah. Well, speaking of something that's not so scary.
Okay.
Marine mammals like otters, sea lions.
Yeah. Gotta love them.
So these, they're so cute. They give birth to live young just like we do, like humans.
Yeah.
And so sharks, on the other hand, they have a very diverse reproductive model. And I want to be very clear. Okay. Sharks are not mammals.
Okay.
They lack all of the characteristics that define a mammal. They don't have warm blood, for example, and sharks are fish.
I feel like after hearing that they gave birth to live young, I could have believed that they were
confusing.
Mammals. Yeah, it's very mammal. Because that's like clear mammal signal, usually.
You are mammal.
You are, you got a live baby, mammal. I don't know what platypus are doing, but...
They're just a little confused.
They're confused about everything. I mean, have you seen one?
Yeah.
I don't know. But they don't do much, so...
That was funny.
That was a joke.
That was a Phineas and Ferb reference in case no one got it. That was funny. I love that show growing up. Back to sharks and their very diverse reproductive models.
Yes.
So some species do lay eggs, in fact. They are called oviparous.
Okay.
So there's oviparous, and then there's others that produce live young, and they're called viviparous.
Okay, so we have both.
And then there's another one. So we have oviparous, viviparous, and ovoviviparous.
Goodness.
Yeah, so viviparous, live, ones that lay eggs, oviparous, and these oviparous species lay eggs that develop and hatch outside the mother's body. The viviparous species are either placental, meaning they have a placenta like mammals do, or they are aplacental, which means they lack a placenta. And this is sometimes referred to as oviviparous.
Okay.
So this means in an aplacental shark, some species babies called pups rely on the yolk sac for nutrition during the pregnancy, whereas others consume unfertilized yolk-filled eggs.
Interesting.
We're going to explain it a little further, but it's a little crazy.
Fascinating. The aplacental, that's interesting. They just like come out.
So our oviparous, which are the egg laying, these are like the skates and some shark species that produce eggs encased in a tough, leathery egg case. And a female may spend a long time laying her egg, ensuring they're securely fixed in a safe place. So this can take anywhere from 6 to 9 months before the egg is ready to hatch. So this depends on the species. So features such as a curled tendril, horns, and sticky mucus filaments attach the egg case to a substrate. So this means it's going to be attached to a seabed, a reef, seaweed, something that's anchoring it to it. Kind of like what lays their eggs? Like snails. They lay their eggs in like ponds and stuff attached to like leaves.
Oh, shoot.
So kind of the same thing here. Or dragonflies.
That's a little teaser for the thing I learned on Reddit. Just dropping
cool.
that. Not
Ooh,
really,
I'm
but
excited.
You'll see.
Okay. Okay, cool. Yeah. So that's where the embryo actually is going to develop. And that protective capsule acts as a life support machine. And it contains everything that the baby embryo could need. I call it a baby. The baby shark.
How has that not come up yet?
Because we just got to the baby section.
Baby, dude, you know that video has like hundreds of billions of views?
Yeah, if only we had come up with it first.
I know. That'd be amazing.
And that embryo absorbs nutrients from the yolk sac before hatching and emerges as a mini version of the adult.
Okay, right. Like if you think about like a baby chicken, you know, like a little...
Yep.
That's kind of how they would work as well.
Yeah, I'm thinking they look probably more like a snake egg.
Yeah, I would, or like a turtle egg, maybe.
Yeah, where it's like a softer. Yeah.
I think like if you think about that.
What's really cool is these egg cases can actually be found washed up on beaches. And you can actually tell the species they belong to by their size and shape, which is pretty
really?
Cool.
Really? Different shapes.
Yes. What's really cool is that by telling the size and shape, you actually help shark conservation by searching for them in part of the great egg case hunt, which is kind of fun.
That is fun. So people are note of the egg shape and size to tell what species are around. That's interesting.
Yeah, because then you can tell what baby sharks are hatching in the area.
Right. That's cool.
Yeah. The great egg case hunt. Kind of fun.
It's a great name. I like that.
Okay. Now we have the confusing one. The ovivivi Paris.
Okay. Yeah.
The ovoviviparous. So instead of laying her eggs, the female will carry them inside her body. Also, can we talk about how these sharks have evolved so much that like different species do different reproductive things? How did that happen?
Yeah, humans can't even do that.
We also haven't been around for 400 million years, but like, could you imagine?
No, that's totally true though. Like, yeah, they've been around for 400 million years. They've had a lot of time crazy. To branch, and these ones do something different than these ones.
It's so crazy. It's so crazy.
Yeah, what if humans could like lay an egg?
Just sit on an egg.
Just sit, you know, you just pop out an egg and then, you know, sit on it for a couple hours a day.
I mean, we kind of do. We have an egg that comes out of the ovaries.
That's true.
So we kind of lay an egg. It's not quite the same.
Egg is involved at some point of the process. Yeah.
Okay, so the ovi vivi pars. So instead of laying the egg, the female will carry it inside of her body, providing extra safety from potential predators. And then the embryo develops within an egg case that has a thin membrane. And once developed, the baby shark will hatch inside the mother.
Whoa.
And then gives birth to the live little one.
Okay.
So in some species, the pups aren't born immediately after hatching. Instead, they stay in the uterus where they feed off the unfertilized eggs.
I don't know why I'm so like grossed out by that, because I guess that's kind of how humans are born, but not the first part, but the second part, right? Like the baby's
sometimes
like alive in there.
Sometimes humans do this.
And then it's, you know, born later after, but something about that. I mean, obviously the part about it eating, it's the unfertilized eggs around it. That's interesting and kind of gross.
I just think it's really crazy. Yeah. So, I mean, humans are kind of like this, like the baby is technically in a little sack. That's like a thin membrane wall. So like, this is kind of like humans in a way, but like, I think the difference is we're doing one and they're doing like four or five. And well, I guess this happens sometimes with twins. One of them gets like reabsorbed.
Dude, that's true. Twins out there. We've had some twins right in, haven't we?
Yeah.
Well, but they weren't a twin that absorbed the other one in the in childbirth.
It's actually pretty common. But I think this is crazy. I just can't believe that the shark is like alive within the mother's body at this point. And it's feeding off the unfertilized eggs.
Yeah, that's the part that really takes it to a different area for me.
Yeah. Sand tiger pups not only eat the unfertilized eggs, but if they're the first one to hatch, they eat their unhatched siblings too.
Oh my gosh. There can only be one. Wow.
Apparently.
The worst luck if you're not the first one out.
Yeah, that's called intrauterine cannibalism, in case you're looking for a term. I don't know what other species do it, but this one is called intrauterine cannibalism.
Listen, I guess at the end of the day here, we're talking about sharks. Did you expect anything less gruesome from sharks? Like, I feel
also
like
didn't
all this
expect to learn this much about like shark reproductive systems and like how baby sharks are actually born. But it's kind of crazy. Like, it's so cool.
But I feel like this whole thing,
sharks come up in combo.
We're getting like lulled into this place of like, oh, babies and blah, 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 whatever. And it's like, these are still sharks we're talking about here.
These are still sharks.
They're a little scary and they eat their babies, or the babies eat themselves and their siblings, whatever. I don't know.
But also like, they're not like elephants or humans where they really care for their young. It's very much just kind of like, oh, there's a baby.
Right, they just kind of fall out and go
on. It's literally just for like extending life. It's not like the mom is there to take care of them. I think there's like very few select mammals. And I think it's a mammal thing, because dolphins, elephants, humans, once you're a part of that family herd or group, you're with them for life. With sharks, lions, tigers, anything else, it's just kind of like you grow up and then you're on your own.
Yeah, well, sharks especially. I mean, sharks are solitary creatures. They don't have like a squad that they roll with. So
it's not a thing for them.
No. So absolutely. Like the second that baby pops out, it's like, okay, get out, go.
Yeah. They might teach them how to hunt and like that's all they got.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not sticking around.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So there's one more. So this is the one that Cohen wanted to know about. And this is the viviparous. And this is the most advanced method of reproduction. So the baby shark develops inside the mother's body, receiving nutrients and oxygen through an umbilical cord, very much like humans.
Okay.
And this is the same method used by mammals. But unlike mammals, when the pups are born, they're immediately independent and have to fend for themselves.
Right. There you go.
So like we just talked about where mammals, like an elephant, like they will nurse their babies.
Well, I mean like humans, right?
Yeah, humans.
Like, a very clear
example. Like they have to like take care of the baby. Sharks don't have an area for the baby to nurse. It's like the shark comes out and immediately has to eat blood. Like, just be, it's not
just be a big shark already immediately. Like, you're a shark now. I've always thought that about human babies because you'll see, you know, like, yeah, like elephants.
Cows.
Yeah, like cows, horses or whatever. Like, they come out and, I mean, sure, they're small and the mom still takes care of them. But they're, like, up and walking around and can eat and do stuff. And it's like, humans are the worst. Like, we, how are we the apex predator? Because a baby comes out and it's just like a sack of useless human for many years, basically.
Years. Like, for years, it is a useless little thing. Yeah, no, you're just, so it's, right.
It's an interesting thought. Humans... Without other humans around, we ain't lasting too long after birth.
No. Literally, elephants give birth, and it's like that baby's up within like 2 seconds and walking around and like a part of the herd. Like,
oh, yeah. They're up and hanging out. Yeah.
But also, they like house the baby for like almost, I think it's a full, it's like 18 months.
That's true. Elephant pregnancy is very long.
I don't know. It's very interesting, actually, now that we think about that. Man, I'm like fully locked in on this whole thing. It's kind of interesting. Also, side note, some female sharks can reproduce without a male to fertilize the eggs.
Whoa.
Talk about not needing a man.
Hey, yeah. Strong, independent woman.
Yeah. This is known as parthenogenesis or a virgin birth, and it has been documented in bonnet heads, black tips, and zebra sharks.
Wow. I mean, like, evolutionarily that makes sense, right? Like if something could evolve, like it would go in that direction because that's just one less piece of the puzzle you need.
Right. But is that not so crazy? Like, to me, I think whether you believe in evolution or not, this is adaptation. They couldn't find a male. They did it themselves.
Right. Yeah.
Like, you know, I think for me, it just speaks to the progressiveness, if you will. Is that the word? Or like the uniqueness of how they have evolved. And listen, if you're someone out there that's like, evolution is the worst thing in the world, okay, relax. Because this is my tangent for the day. Evolution in the context that you're thinking about it like between like Darwin and God and blah, 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 like, okay, relax, number one. Evolution is a term for us to describe how something is changing. I'm not saying we came from monkeys, like, relax. I don't know if we did or didn't. No one knows. We'll never know. So, like, whatever.
I will say this is a science podcast, so you should have known what you were getting into coming into it. Yeah. But, you know.
But, like, for me, I think evolution is a grandiose thing, and it's more of a, this is the term to describe how species are adapting properly and, like, evolving to be apex dominant things. Mm-hmm. Like, think about dogs, for example. Like, they've evolved into being house pets. They're not thriving on their own out in the wilderness.
Right. Obviously, I mean, I think, you know, the domestication of dogs, like, humans played a role in that, obviously, but
you can't domesticate sharks.
Could you imagine?
No.
I don't even know how that would happen, but, or what that would look like, but like you said, like, couldn't find a male. Well, the choice is either don't give birth and then the species of shark dies off, or yeah. it evolves over the year, probably many thousands of years, to then not need one, and it can do it without it to continue the breed, that group of sharks.
Which I don't even know how that happens. Like, how does a species evolve that is to the point of, like, not needing to reproduce? Well, not needing, yeah. like, a male and female to reproduce. Kind of crazy. Kind of wild.
It is.
Feels like a whole nother thing.
Yeah. I mean, it is. That is very fascinating. I would be curious just to, like, read into that and see if there is, like, specifics on how it actually does that. Because everything yeah. else, you know, we know about, like, reproduction is obviously two things coming together yeah. to make one. yeah. So that is interesting.
But that's what I got on sharks and their birth style, Cohen.
Okay.
Hope we answered some questions / made you a little bit more curious about sharks and how they do what they do.
Just sharks, man. Freaking sharks. Okay. So I teased it halfway through there because you mentioned snails.
Yeah, I'm on the edge of my seat about what you got.
You know, just some classic Reddit scrolling through and just come across just some fantastic things. This one's actually, like I said, you were excited, and I was like, maybe don't be, because it's not great.
Oh no!
Let me just go ahead and read the headline.
Okay, I'm ready.
Why snails are one of the deadliest creatures.
Wait. What?
Before I like get into the what that actually is talking about, have you ever heard of, it's like a meme at this point on the internet, about the hypothetical bet of, like, you get $1 million or whatever sum, $1 billion, but then there's always a snail hunting you, and if it touches you, you die. Have you ever heard that?
No. What?
It's like an old internet thing that, like I said, it's become a meme at this point. And I see it every now and then on Reddit, people talking about it. The gist is you get this sum of money, but then there's always a snail that knows exactly where you are, and it's always coming for you. And if it touches you, you die.
Is that, like, referring to, like, someone chasing you or something? Like, trying to get your money, or, like...
No, it's just a snail. I don't understand. It's just a snail. Just snailing after you, and if it touches you, you die. And that's, you know, it's like I said, over the years, it's like a thought experiment of people being like, you know, well, what would you do? How would you get rid of the snail? Like, what, or, you know, what could happen?
Can you trap the snail?
I think you can. I think the only thing is that the snail is, like, immortal. You can't kill it. It can't be killed.
Maybe I put, like, an air tag on it so I know where it is.
Hey, there you go. There's a nice
can make it play a sound. Like,
yeah.
Play a sound on the air tag.
So you would just, like, you would move to, like, another country, and then maybe, I don't know how long it would take a snail to come all the way across. It would have to go through the ocean or, like, take a boat, I guess.
So we're talking about a snail moving at, like, a normal speed, right? Like normal
yeah,
snail
from
speed.
Everything I've or, okay. from everything I've seen, it's just like a regular snail.
What if it's just trying to be your friend?
This whole time, it's just a misunderstood snail. It just wants to be friends.
What if it's just like, hey? I mean, can you take it with you instead? Like, just take it places with you? Like, put it in a little box? Like, I would just
put
can't,
it in a box if it
and
touches
take it everywhere
you,
with me.
If it touches you, you die. That's the
Is
that's
it trying
thing.
To touch me? Or is it like...
Yes. Yeah, it's okay. actively coming after you. That's the
I would just put it in a little scenario. Terrarium with, like, a very sealed lock.
For anyone that wants a good read, I don't know the exact search thing, but there is a very, like, old school classic Reddit thread where I want to say it was, like, one of the first times this hypothetical scenario was posed, and the responses on it are, like, some of the best I've ever read on Reddit. And, like, one of them, I mean, like, this person typed, like, literally a book about what they
oh
would
my gosh.
Do. And I feel like it ended with, like, shooting the snail into space.
Oh, that's a good solution.
Yeah. I mean, it was elaborate. They had thought it out.
This is a great thought experiment. Guys, let us know. Write in and let us know what you guys would do. This is very thought-provoking. There's so many different things that you could do. What would be your guys' solution? I like this. This is great.
It's a great... No, I mean, that's why it was like so popular on... Oh, just over the years on the internet. Like, I've seen it a billion times.
Yeah.
I think... Okay, wait. I think I found the original post.
We'll also put the link in our show notes so you guys can go and check it out.
You and a super intelligent snail... both get $1 million.
Oh, no, he's super intelligent. We both get $1 million. Okay, okay, this changes the game.
I don't know what a snail is doing with $1 million, but whatever. And you both become immortal. However, you die if the snail touches you. It always knows where you are and slowly crawls towards you. What's your plan? But okay, let me get back to why we're even talking about this. Freshwater snails... carry a parasitic disease which infects nearly 250 million people and causes over 200 deaths a year.
What? Now I have to be scared of snails?
From what I've seen, I think this is common. This is common in tropical Asia or like sub-Saharan Africa area.
Oh, well, yeah, that makes sense. Yes, this is all tracking. That's where the deadly mosquitoes are too.
Yeah, I mean... You know, so I don't know if you're, you know, in the U.S., I don't think this parasite is here, and I will say the snail is kind of getting a bad rap here. It's just like a vessel for the parasite. The snail is not actually killing people, which would be hilarious. it's just carrying... Oh my gosh. A parasite, which is not good.
So how do you get the parasite, though? I think that's what I'm confused about. Like, do you have to touch your face? Does the snail bite you? Like, is it through the slime?
Basically, it's through water. So if the snail is in water, you get in the water. The parasite exits the snail, enters you. And here's the crazy thing. It can actually be dormant in your blood for years before showing itself, like making itself known.
What?
Yeah. The name of this parasite, in case anyone's curious, it's ridiculous. It's one of those science words that has like 40 syllables.
And silent letters.
Schistosomiasis. Schistosomiasis. Something like that.
Okay. Sure.
Snails have it. They can just like... it's like a bat with rabies. You know what I mean? Like they can just have themselves.
Yeah.
And then it's transmitted through water. So if you get in a body of water where these snails are hanging, it can travel through the water, enter in you, and go to your blood.
That's wild.
Yeah. I think the crazy thing about it, I mean, obviously it's kind of funny that it's a snail killing people.
Yeah.
But it's actually the parasite that the snail has. But the crazy part is it can lay dormant in people's bodies for years.
That's so wild. It's kind of like Lyme's disease.
Yeah. And like from what I've read, you know, you might get a few symptoms and those symptoms are basically just like fatigue or, you know, like brain fog or something. and then 10 years later, it could kill you.
Every disease ever.
Yeah, I was like, shoot, I've got this. Okay, cool. I probably have snail worms. But yeah, there you go. That's what I learned on Reddit. Steer clear of freshwater snails because they are killing people.
In Africa and Asia. That's crazy. Yeah.
200,000 deaths a year, that one.
I feel like it has to be in areas that like it's standing water, it's dirty, it's like,
yeah,
I can't imagine this is in like moving bodies of water.
No,
that wouldn't
make
any sense.
No, yeah, it would need to be, you know, I mean the same, if you're smart, the same rules apply of looking at water and whatever. Because, yeah, I mean, if it's standing water, then it's easier for those parasites to swim through it and make their way into you.
Just be smart around water.
Just be smart around water and snails, obviously.
And
be
sharks. Smart around snails.
And sharks. Yeah, be... Okay, here's something I just thought about. I don't know what the exact number of shark deaths are a year, but I have to think it's less than this snail. And that's hilarious.
I think it is too, honestly.
Yeah, there's no way a shark is killing 200,000 people a year.
Or like killing them after 10 years.
Yeah, a delayed death.
What's more deadly, you guys? Let us know in the comments, like in your rating and review, in your email, whatever it is. What do you guys vote is more deadly, the snail or the shark? We'll put it on Spotify as the question, meaning you have to listen to the end to actually understand the context. I think that'll be the title of this episode is what is more deadly, a shark or a snail?
Listen, my vote's the snail. I think it's the real apex predator here.
I agree with you. I'm here for snail. I think that snail is scarier than the shark.
Yeah, especially if it has a million dollars.
Even the one that has a million, yeah. I'm going snail with $1 million. That's smarter than me. Game over. I'm dead. Yeah. I'm literally dead from the snail.
There's no
way.
It'll get you.
We gotta go. This is getting too out of hand. We could joke about this forever. Yeah, you guys, let us know what you're on team more deadly, snail or shark. God, this was a great episode. I loved this.
Please feel free to, if you've got the strategy to survive the snail, let us know. I want to hear it, please.
Please let us know.
You can leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. That really helps out the podcast. Respond to the Q&A thing on Spotify, YouTube comments, or you can send us an email at randomtheorypod@gmail.com. We're reading all of those things.
We are. You guys are the best science pals. Let us know if you're OGRT. You guys mean the world to us. We'll be back next week with some more random science.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Coriant. Coriant provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Coriant has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Coriant has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Coriant has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.